everyone, and welcome to Let's Get Visible, a podcast for business owners, helping them to grow, have a sustainable business, and get more visibility online. I'm Dawes Brown, and I'll be bringing you SEO and digital marketing tips, as well as interviews and conversations with other business owners. So let's get started. Health, happiness, and Hashimoto's is the topic of conversation we're chatting about today with Kirsty King. She is a gut health obsessed naturopath on a mission to make the world a healthier and happier place. This is where her own health journey began. She suffered from her own gut issues, which was uncomfortable and at times embarrassing. Thankfully, she was introduced to a naturopath, which began her gut healing journey and interest in health, food as medicine, and natural therapies. She has since gone on to study a four-year Bachelor of Health Science majoring in naturopathy and spent her final year under the mentorship of Dr. Andrea Robertson, who is an osteopath, naturopath, and nutritionist. Kirsty now works alongside her today at Southside Clinic in Unley, Adelaide. When not in the clinic or talking about gut health, you'll most likely find her at home in her little veggie garden, curled up with her cat, planning an adventure with her partner Joe, or in the kitchen cooking up a delicious home-cooked meal. So let's welcome to the Let's Get Visible podcast, Kirsty.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. And a little bit similar to your beautiful bio, but we connected as a result of me reaching out due to some health issues. And can I just say what a positive impact and change you've made to my life? So again, just super excited to have you as a guest. And it's really the purpose behind today's show, which is to shine a light on natural therapies, but also helping business owners identify when they're burnt out or run down or something else like Hashimoto's, which we're going to speak about and is an autoimmune thyroid disease, and for them to get the help and support they need to live and work at optimal levels. Now, before we dive in, I do have a few questions to run through, but I just wanted to share with the audience some interesting facts. And these facts come from the Australian Thyroid Foundation. 10 times more women than men worldwide will be diagnosed with some form of thyroid disorder. And statistics show 1 million Australians have an undiagnosed thyroid disorder as well. Now, I recently listened to another podcast where they mentioned that 1 in 5 people will have a thyroid disorder in their lifetime. Now, I remember when I was first learning about this topic and how scary it all sounded. And in your experience and working as a naturopath, can you explain a little bit more about the importance of thyroid health and the associated things that go with this?
Yeah, for sure. Thyroid is one of the probably the most common things I would test for in my clinic, and also one of the most common things I see impacting other areas of health, including myself. I also have a thyroid condition as well. It's very common, and it affects all parts of the body. So basically, our thyroid's sitting there and connects to all areas. So it affects our energy levels, our hormones, especially in women, cell production. It also helps with things like our metabolism, also temperature, so keeping our temperatures regulated. It affects everything.
Yeah.
And so the most common things I'll see which trigger me to want to test for thyroid is things like fatigue, weight, either weight gain or weight loss, changes in skin, hair loss is a big one, hair loss and weak nails. And what else do we test for? So if you're feeling really cold all the time or really hot when everyone else isn't, mood disorders, so many things can be linked back to the thyroid, even gut patients. Yeah, there's normally lots of signs that sort of point us in the direction of that thyroid. Yeah. And then we test from it, and then that tells us what direction we need to go for next.
Yeah. And the thyroid kind of reminds me of when you're playing in an orchestra and mm-hmm. the conductor that's telling everyone the speed of how to play the music and all the ups and all the downs and all the bits. And it's also almost like the conductor for other bits and parts of our body, really.
That's exactly right. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah. And
basically just, yes, trying to keep everything going, but also helping us to survive. So I'm sure we will get into that about small business owners and how we go all the time.
Yeah.
But that thyroid is just trying to keep up and keep us going. And sometimes when we're not listening to the signs, it's giving us that it needs a bit of a break or it needs some extra support.
Yeah.
Then that's when it can spiral and things can start to happen.
Yeah. And you've touched on a really important point there that, yes, running small businesses, and you run a small business too. I think sometimes we are trying to do so many things. And we think when it comes to our health, for example, oh yeah, I'll go and check that out later. We start to get a few symptoms. We start to feel a little bit fatigued or a little bit flat. And we think, oh yeah, I've just done too much work today. And we don't actually listen to our bodies and we try and push it to the side. But really, when it comes to running a business, if you don't have your health, you can't get up each day. You can't run those client meetings. You can't run those training sessions. The importance of being able to identify those things means that you can continue to run your business. And if you don't, then yeah, it puts up a few, you know, blocks in the way. So through your experience and your genius and how you help your patients and clients, yeah, are there, again, other particular things that pop up when you're having the consultations or chats with maybe a small business owner that is a common thread that you see arise?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess with the small business owners, we are just go all the time. So one of the most common things I probably hear and see is sleep being affected. So right. Because our brain is just a go all the time, we're sitting in that fight or flight nervous system all the time. When we're laying in bed, that mind starts going and it's still turning off. We lose our ability just to rest, unwind, and go off to sleep. That's probably one of the most common things I see. But then that has a flow-on effect to so many other areas. So gut is the area that I have a big interest in.
Yeah.
And if we're not sitting in that sort of rest and digest nervous system, which we should be majority of the time, we're in fight or flight, all these normal bodily functions can't operate because our body literally thinks there's a threat. So our threat might be an inbox full of emails that we know we're not going to be able to finish by the end of the day. But the body thinks there's something that's a threat to our life. So it kicks into gear and only prioritizes the things that need to keep us alive. So digestion, rest and relaxation, all of those sorts of things aren't a priority. Even long-term memory short-term memory isn't a priority. It's just those long-term things that are going to keep us alive in this moment. Yeah. And so that should only really happen if there is a threat, not every day because our inboxes are overflowing, but we just get stuck in these patterns and then there's no sort of switching out of it, or we can't switch out of it.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And again, I came to you with one of those issues, which was the brain not being able to switch off at nighttime because, yeah, when you're either in that analytical or creative state, usually it's when you lay down, all these wonderful ideas and thoughts come through, but you go to sleep and you wake up more exhausted than what you did before you went to bed. And doing that long term has some pretty serious effects on us.
That's right. Yes, yes. And like we've mentioned, the thyroid, it can start to affect the thyroid. And if we're not getting that really good quality of sleep, the body can't do its proper repair or its cleanups or just tune in to what's going on and what it needs. So yeah, we wake up exhausted, we get the brain fog again, and we go again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the intro, I mentioned that you moved into your line of work, so becoming a naturopath due to your own life experience, you know, with gut health. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? As much as you want to share, you don't have to
go. Sure. Yeah, I can talk about it all day, but that was me. So I had a really uncomfortable gut, which is all the symptoms of IBS. I'd swing between needing to go all the time to not going at all, to having bloating all the time or uncomfortable and embarrassing gas. And this was around the time I was 21, going out with friends. So every time I'd go out, it'd be in the back of my head, have I been to the toilet? What's going to happen when I'm out? It was starting to affect everyday life.
Yeah. And
you go to your GP and they would just give you gastro stop or something like that, just to minimize the symptoms, which would work for a little while, and then it'd be back again.
I like to call that the Band-Aid option.
Exactly. Yes, yes. Yep. It's just a Band-Aid. We're not getting to the underlying cause. Yep. And so then a friend told me that they were seeing a naturopath. So I started seeing the naturopath, and yeah, he helped me to understand what potentially could be going on in my gut.
Right.
And also how the nervous system's affected, like linked to that, and gave me some things to work on. And then I started to learn my own things and read and go down all the different paths and learn things for myself, try things for myself. And eventually that led me to going and studying naturopathy for myself. Yeah. And yeah, it's been quite the journey, but it's such a better place now. Even sometimes when I'm having most days are good, but sometimes I tune in and think, geez, remember what it used to be like and look where you are now. So it does take time to heal things. And sometimes in that initial consult or that initial breaking point, you think, I can't make any changes or I can't do that. But yeah, slowly, those tiny little changes make all the difference. And then, yeah, and then suddenly you'll start to see what things are contributing to what you're experiencing.
Yeah, and you start to feel better and you're able to do normal things, get up and go to work or look after the kids or those kinds of things. Yeah. But yeah, quite similar to you. So the way that I stumbled on you, and it was through social media actually, and you sharing your content and information, which I found really educational and opened my eyes. But similar to that, I kept feeling unwell. I did have as well the hair loss. I started to get really bad fatigue. And I just was not feeling myself. And so I did the normal thing too of going to my GP, letting them know what symptoms. And my symptoms went from a list of 2 to about 10 in a matter of 6 months. So the more it wasn't getting addressed and the more the Band-Aids just kept getting placed, the longer this list of symptoms had, you know, become. And so I was exhausted by the whole process of going and trying to do the right thing and not feeling well and trying to get the help, but not feeling like I was really being listened to. And the symptoms were treated independently rather than looked at collectively. And I started to feel like I was going insane. I really did. And I remember, I think on our very first call, when I reached out to you, I think I burst into tears because it was just this ongoing cycle of trying to run a business and trying to support clients and trying to run programs and workshops and all sorts. But to do all those things, you need to feel well. You can't get up and do those things unless you have the energy and the right mindset and mind frame. But when you don't feel well, you're just really not in that zone. And yeah, having that experience and then looking at an option, an alternative, and going, you know, I'm just not getting the answers that I'm looking for that can really help, which is where you've then come into the picture and we've been working together now ever since.
Yeah.
And what a difference, just again, the points that you made. And it's the little changes that you don't realize make such an impact. And one of those things is food. And again, relating to the gut. So I know I've really changed the way that I eat, the way that I drink. So I'm now gluten-free, you know, dairy-free, caffeine-free. And if you would have told me to give up those things a year ago, I would have literally closed the door and gone, nah, Kirsty, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because I felt like those things were helping me survive, but they were actually doing the opposite in personal case. And of course, it's not everyone's situation, but in my situation, what I was putting into my body was 50% of the problem. I was causing inflammation. I was, yeah. So can you talk to us a little bit about food and inflammation and the gut and how all these bits also connect to the thyroid as well?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, you're 100%. And this is so many people, including myself. We sometimes, those foods are comforts, and even society and social media tells us that's how we treat ourselves as a small business owner. At the end of the day, you pour yourself a glass of wine and you've earned that.
Yeah.
But really, it is what you're putting in is what is coming out.
Yeah.
So the thyroid needs so many nutrients to be able to function correctly and regulate. So iodine is the biggest one for that.
Yep.
And it can swing both ways. So you can sometimes be putting in too much, it's not being absorbed properly.
Yep.
But majority of the times it's not enough. But then the thyroid needs so many other vitamins as well, even iron, different B vitamins, selenium, lots of different minerals and nutrients that are already lacking in our modern diet. So even if you are eating really healthy, like all your fruit and vegetables and everything like that, the way our foods are farmed now, they're lacking those nutrients in the soils and just how they get from the farm to our table, where we're losing a lot of nutrients along the way.
Yeah.
So that's just one thing. So even if you were eating a super healthy diet, we're already a little bit compromised. But then in our Western diets, we're looking for those foods that are a bit more convenient and also taste really good. And they're the foods that are really lacking in nutrients. So things like takeaway foods, processed foods, anything that comes in a packet, basically, they don't have a lot of nutrients in there that are supporting healthy bodily functions.
Yeah.
And once again, once we're business owners and running that business becomes a priority, sometimes the nutrition falls aside. So many people that I speak to sometimes don't have breakfast. Their coffee might be their breakfast. And then there's no time for a lunch break. Or if they are having a lunch break, it's in front of a computer and it's just shoveling down whatever they can get their hands on. And then come dinner time, they might have a little bit of time to cook, or it might just be something that you grab on the way home. Just be quick and easy. So yeah, we're just losing those nutrient-rich foods that our body needs. And as you said as well, that can affect the gut. So that creates the inflammation in the gut, can lead to leaky gut, which can be a cause of thyroid conditions, as well as parasites and gut bacteria overgrowths can also contribute to those thyroid conditions. So it's so important that we strip back and come back to providing really good nutrition for ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. And can you explain the difference? So there's hypothyroidism and then there's hyperthyroidism. So if you're able to just go through the difference between the two and just some of the symptoms that are associated with those two types of thyroid conditions.
Yeah, for sure. So hyperthyroid is where the thyroid's operating faster than it should. So it's in a little bit of overdrive.
Yeah.
And then hypothyroid, which is the more common one in Australia, is where it's underactive. So it's not functioning optimally. And then there's also other conditions that fall under those headings, which is Hashimoto's falls under the hypothyroid.
Yeah.
And that has an autoimmune component to it. So the immune system's at play there. And there's antibodies that are contributing to your presentation. So we need to look at the immune system as well when we're looking at Hashimoto's. So the difference between the two, the symptoms can present as very similar, so that fatigue sort of picture, but the hypo, so when you're that underactive, you're feeling that fatigue a little bit more. You're noticing the things like hair loss, potentially some weight gain, your hunger, your body starving for those nutrients, you want to be eating more.
Yeah.
Low mood, the hormones aren't functioning properly, so that's contributing to that nervous system being really low. So it might be depression, fatigue, poor concentration, all of those things physically in the body. So muscle weakness, you can also feel heart palpitation, shortness of breath, so many different things that can contribute to that. And then on the other side, so the hyperthyroid, where we're overactive, it might be things like struggling to put on weight. You also might not be able to shut off, really struggling to get to sleep. So the hypos are really tired and could be asleep all day, and the hypers can't shut off. They just go. So they're the more common things than putting things into boxes.
Yeah.
But sometimes the hypos might be experiencing some of the hyper symptoms and back and forth. So the first thing, if you're experiencing any of these things or feeling unwell, is to go and get your bloods tested and start to seek out help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a really important point. And again, something that was through my experience, each time I went to the GP or doctor and went to get these blood tests, they actually weren't testing for specifically, as you were saying, the antibody. Mm. Your T3s and your T4s and all sorts of bits. So are you able to explain the difference between getting, I guess, just the generic version of a thyroid test when you go to get your bloods done versus getting the more specific thyroid testing?
Yeah, for sure. If you're going to the doctor and they're open to testing for the thyroid, the first thing that they can test is the thyroid stimulating hormone. So TSH, you'll see that on your request form. And that's the only thing that they're allowed to test for under Medicare. So they're very limited and they're very regulated, and that's all they can test for. So when that comes back, they want it to be in a range anywhere from, I think it's 0.5 to about 5 or 6. So that's how big the range is. Yeah. And as long as your TSH falls within that range, they can't do any further testing.
No.
So they're limited. And yeah, the majority of GPs, so general practitioners, that's where their sort of skills or their toolbox stops. That's where they can go to. But as a naturopath, we can send for testing direct with the labs. And I believe some GPs and specialists can do it too. I'm not 100% sure, so don't push them on that. But we can send you directly to the labs for testing. You just have to pay for it. So it's not covered by Medicare.
Yeah.
And it can be expensive. So I think that full thyroid panel is about $180 at the moment.
Yeah.
So it is expensive. And it's one of those things. Is it going to tell me something? Isn't it? But it's definitely worth it to rule out what's going on.
Absolutely.
So that, yeah. And yeah, you're a great example of that. So yeah, a lot of people will come to me and say, I've had my thyroid tested. There's nothing wrong. It's just that TSH. Yeah. Yeah. And the TSH is normally the last thing to show. So the other thyroid hormones like the T3, T4, RT3, other things can be going on before that TSH is affected. So that's why we want to test everything, and including those antibodies, because then we know if there's an autoimmune presentation at play as well.
Absolutely. And look, what price can you put on health? As I said to you, I was ready to mortgage my home just to find out what was truly, you know, going on. And it wasn't until I had gone back to the GP and said, look, I'm still not well. And I was in tears. And it was the first time that they suggested to do a physical exam of my neck and throat. And he had said, has anyone looked at your neck and throat before I'd done a physical exam? And I've said, no, I've been coming to see you now for over 6 months and no one's ever suggested that. And so it was through doing that physical exam that they found that my thyroid was in fact swollen. I then proceeded to get a scan, and that's when they found nodules growing on the thyroid. Now, these can be either benign or cancerous, but they do need to be biopsied in order to determine that. Through having the biopsy, that then came through and showed, yes, this is Hashimoto's. And then coupled with the blood tests that were done, as you were saying, the specific thyroid blood test, which also came back and identified the symptoms or whatever was happening as Hashimoto's. And it was like, finally, after nearly 12 months of just going around in circles, just being able to get the right tests and knowing what to ask for.
Yeah.
I think that's really important because I rely on doctors and GPs to guide me as mm-hmm. to what it is that I need to go and get tested for. But what I found through my own personal journey and experience with this is that we need to educate ourselves. And when someone is telling you you're perfectly fine, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with you, and you're feeling like an absolute dog's breakfast, that you actually listen to your own intuition and go, you know what, I'm actually not happy with this result, and I'm going to go and do my own research and reading and find out the right questions to ask.
Yes.
Because doctors and GPs, they do a great job at what they do, but they're also very limited when it comes to specific areas of health. If they're not a thyroid specialist, if they're not an ear specialist, if they're not a throat specialist, we're putting that expectation on them that they're going to provide all the answers, but we have to know what questions to ask. And that's through getting, you know, educated and doing some of that knowledge building and research ourselves. And I'm not talking about doing a Dr. Google search here, not at all, but going and actually, yeah, having an appointment or catch up with maybe an alternative therapy specialist or a throat specialist or a thyroid, whatever it is. But yeah, the integral part is asking the right questions, because I think that's really the missing bit when we're feeling a bit crap and we're like, what's going on? Everyone's telling me I'm fine, but I know I'm not fine. Yeah, just your thoughts around that.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, we just really need to fight for ourselves and look after us and take our health into our own hands. I think we're brought up in this world that if you're sick, you go to the doctor, you tell them your symptoms, they give you a diagnosis and the medicine to fix that. So that's how we're taught. But then when we start to get these complicated conditions that don't fit all those boxes and there's not a pill for that condition,
yep,
then we start to hit roadblocks. And if that particular practitioner you're speaking with doesn't have a skill set in that area or is limited to what they can, then often you'll get told there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Even I've had patients who have been given like psychologists and counselors because they're as if they've made up their symptoms. There's something going on in their head that there's nothing that the Western medicine can help with. So it must be in their head. But it's not often the case. We just need to dig a bit deeper and find out what's contributing to it. And
absolutely.
Also not, there's not one sort of treatment for everyone as well. If you're presenting with these autoimmune like conditions, obviously we need to support the immune system as well, not just that thyroid. Or if your gut's out, we really need to look after your gut to get the thyroid working properly. And or if your nutrition is out, we really need to help you to understand food and what you're putting in your body to make sure the thyroid's right. Yeah, I definitely think it's learning and self-education. And you're right, sometimes it starts off with a bit of the Dr. Google, but then that can lead you to support groups and then connect you with certain people who can point you in the right direction. And I even know with you now, Dawes, you've read that many books, like I could probably come to you for some advice on some patients, the right nutrients and different foods that you can do to support your thyroid. And yeah, you can now support yourself. You don't have to be asking everyone for yep. those questions. And I also want to say as well, this isn't to beat up on doctors, but even just think of yourself in your own role at work. Like I even know for myself with the naturopath, I have so many different patients come to me for so many different reasons. And I don't always know the answer or even the condition that they've got. But so the GPs are the same. They're limited to what their knowledge is and to what their toolkit holds. So sometimes your family GP might be really good at supporting you through common colds, things like that, but their toolbox is just limited to that. So you need to seek out help. And it doesn't mean you don't have to go back to them ever again. You just need to find the right person for you at that moment.
I love it. Yep. And that's spot on, because they are, they're great at what it is that they do, but there's just some specific areas that they've not had the training in or the hands-on experience in. So it's very difficult for them to be able to identify what's really happening when they're not trained and given yeah. that support themselves. Yes, yeah. Completely agree. Now, you've touched on this a little bit, but the way in which you help your clients and your patients, I guess is the right word to yeah. use. But you're based in Adelaide and I'm here in Wollongong, and we've still managed to work together and those kinds of things. So what are some of the ways in which, yeah, you can support and help people, small business owners, whoever it is that's going through some health issues at the moment and they're not able to find, I guess, that traditional way of finding some solutions to their health? What are some of the ways that you can work with people?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like we work together. I do online via Zoom. So I see patients all over Australia. And then more locally in Adelaide, I work from two clinics. So Southside Clinic in Unley, and then also Urban Wellness at Port Adelaide. So they're the sort of places you can visit me at. And then the way I can help, so that the first appointment, so first of all, we do an initial consult where I just learn all about you, what's going on, all your body system. So I ask lots of questions, you do a lot of talking, and then we start to create a plan. So that might be getting some testing to start with to work out what's going on. It's not always the case. We don't always need testing, but sometimes it can be really helpful. And then from there, we start working on a plan to support your body in any way it needs. So if sleep is the driving factor, we might work on getting your sleep a little bit better, and then the brain fog and that energy all comes back. Or if gut's really affecting you at the moment, we might start working on that first. So as a naturopath, we're always trying to work on the underlying cause of things and not just putting a band-aid on it. We want to get to the cause, treat that cause, and hopefully prevent your body from experiencing what it's experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the length of time that you can work with people is different based on their particular conditions, I'm guessing. So what's the range, between? Yeah.
So initially, we normally see each other quite regularly to start with, as we're trying different options. So if we've tried some new supplements or some herbs or some diet changes, then I want to check in a little bit more. So most often we have the initial appointment, and then 2 to 3 weeks later, we'll check back in again, see what's going on, address any testing that we did, see how the changes we've made so far are working for you. And then we create a plan for that from there. So if we need to make lots of little changes regularly, we would check in more often. Or if your presentation is quite acute, it's something that's only going to be a short period of time, we'll check in quite often. But if we're working long term, we might then stretch it out to 4 weeks or then a couple of months. And then we might check in every 6 months, just so we can organize a time for you to talk about you and make sure none of those things are sneaking back in. Because quite often when we're feeling good, we can easily let all those things sneak back in through the night.
Because we think we've got this false sense, don't we, of, we're back to normal and everything's okay. And so we go back into those bad habits, I think. Right. And one of the interesting things you mentioned, is with the poor sleep and a way to try and reduce that. Yes, there are different herbs. And can I just say, they don't smell so great. So every time I open the bottle to have my herbs, they remind me of dirty socks. Yeah. But oh my goodness, the impact and change they make just to help you switch off, but also turning things off like our phones and our computers. One of the really big changes that I had made in my business and daily life was by 6 o'clock at night, the phone was off, the laptop was off, the desktop computer was off, and I wasn't looking at a screen. Mm-hmm. And by 8:30, sleep would naturally start to hit and my brain would go into, I'm ready for bed mode. So any other tips like that?
That's a huge thing, especially for us small business owners. So you think about how naturally our body knows it's time to fall asleep. It's to do with light. Back when we were sort of those cave people, we'd wake up to the sunlight. So we'd know it's morning and it's time to do something from the sunlight. And then it's time to go to sleep when the lights go down. It's the same for most animals as well. Even if they're nocturnal, the light is telling them when they're awake and asleep. Yep. But we are just stimulated by so much artificial light. Our bodies are just out of whack. So our bodies can't produce those hormones we need to fall asleep and have those really deep sleeps. So the best thing, the tips that I can give for that is exactly what you're doing is, have a time to turn everything off, get the house lights nice and low. If you are watching TV or a screen, try and have it on the night modes or invest in some blue blocker glasses so you're blocking out those harsh lights. And then same thing in the day is making sure you get out and get some sun on your skin so your body knows it's daytime and it's producing those right hormones to get us through the day, but then also switch us into sleep at night. So getting some good sun in your skin in the morning, like actually letting the sun touch your skin, can help produce the right hormones for when you want to go to sleep at night.
Wow. And these things are free.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not about investing in thousands of dollars in sleep machines or things like that. These are natural common sense things, really. And I think we've lost some of that common sense because we're just overloaded with so much information on our screens and we're so connected that we don't know how to really disconnect. And whilst technology has advanced us in many ways and has been great, I can run my entire business just off an internet connection and a computer. In many ways, it's also impacted us on the other side of things, where we've forgotten how to, yeah, get up in the morning, go for a walk, get some sun, make sure you have your breakfast, have lunch. Don't just sit at your desk and work through lunchtime, all those kinds of things. Yeah, we've just completely changed over the last sort of 20 years. It's certainly not the same as what it was when I was, you know, growing up as a kid or a teenager. Yeah, awesome. Now, whenever we do these podcasts, we always talk about the topic of hindsight. So just through your experience, whether it is through your health or through business, when you look back, is there anything that you would do differently and why?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, and I'm still learning this at the moment, my business is still fairly young. It's only 2-ish years old. So I'm still learning things, and I'm sure people who have had their business for longer are probably still learning things as well. But I think in hindsight, what I would learn and what I'm really trying to implement now is not only looking at what my business would look like, but what my life would look like. Love that. At the moment, business is going along really good, and it is the picture I imagined, but maybe not so much the lifestyle. Having that cup of tea in the morning, getting the sun on my skin. So making that a priority from the very start and setting up my business hours around that, which I've slowly implemented. So when I first started business, it was open as many hours as you can so you can get those clients and start helping people. Where now it's, no, I need some time in the morning to tick all these things off, get some sun on my skin, get some water in. Yep. So that's what I would do in hindsight, is really prioritize that and then let the business grow rather than getting the business to a point where I've got to try and fit all these things in hindsight. And also reaching out for help and investing in earlier on, because it really, it feels like you're paying out a whole heap of money, but it really is an investment into helping you set up your business and get better processes in place.
Love it. Absolutely love it, and resonating with everything you're saying there. So true. When you first start and you take on every single client that knocks on your door, even if they're not aligned, even if they're not a good fit, and it's just things that you have to learn through experiencing them and going through them. But yeah, hindsight can definitely help with then improving the way you do things moving forward. And as you said, incorporating more of that life and work fit. I don't believe in work-life balance. I don't think it exists. I think everyone has to create the right fit based on their own personal circumstances. The hours of operation for one may not be the same or work for another because their personal circumstances are different. So it really is an individual thing. Health as well is an individual thing. And again, the topics we're, you know, speaking about today, they're both from personal experiences, and we're coming from that perspective, but everyone's going through something different, and you should individually check in and tune in with yourself and see obviously what's going to be the right fit, you know, for you.
Exactly.
Excellent. Now, as mentioned earlier on as well, in relation to connecting with you, so what really made me want to reach out to you after experiencing not such a great outcome going through the normal go to the GP and find out what's going on was the content that you were sharing on your Instagram page. So it was really educational and informative, and it also allowed me to get to know you. And I was like, I really, this girl, even though I've never met her before, never spoken to her before, it really helped me connect with you. So because this is the Let's Get Visible podcast, we do chat about getting your business visible and what are some of the ways that you've been able to do that, particularly when starting out and now 2.5 years into your business. What's really helped you get that visibility for what you do?
Yeah, so social media has been a big one. So I'm actually from Sydney originally, and I've lived in Adelaide for 6 years now, but going through, and I'd studied down here. So when we moved, I was studying straight away, then started my business. So I hadn't really built up a big network of people. So as I got towards the end of my degree, I was thinking, how am I going to build this business when I don't actually really know that many people in Adelaide? Like I can't fall on that sort of word of mouth. And luckily I had a really good friend, Sonia Baberstock, who is in the sort of social media world, and she helped me. I did some of her courses and did everything she said to set my Instagram up and just post and be consistent and share things that I was learning and share myself. And that has been so good. So it's not an instant thing. Like, you're not going to get a post and then get 10 bookings.
Yeah.
But it's just that consistency and people, me showing up and people enjoying the content. And so that plants the seed. So when they do need a naturopath, or they know, or they hear someone that needs a naturopath, I'll hopefully come to mind. And it's really started to pay off now, in that when I have a new client and I ask how they found me, majority of them are saying Instagram or social media. So that's been the biggest way that I've been able to get myself visible. Yeah. And once again, it's free. It's just time consuming, I guess. So you've got to commit the time to it. And then, yeah, so I did that first and slowly built my website, and I've slowly been sharing blogs and just different things that I enjoy, because then I'll attract those same people that enjoy the same things as me, and then those other people that I can help.
Absolutely love it. And yes, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a Pantene commercial. You're not going to just do one post and wake up the next day and, yeah, get, as you said, those 10 inquiries. But I think it's just building that brand presence, yeah, and, you know, personal branding, and really getting the message out there, so that, as you said, when someone's thinking about a naturopath, that you're top of mind. One of the first questions I'd asked you is, I'm in Wollongong and you're in Adelaide. Does that matter? But we've managed to be able to work with that, and it's never ever been an issue or problem, because again, we both do things that can be done over wonderful technology platforms like Zoom or a telephone call or even an email, which is awesome. Now, any final tips that we can share with the audience from a health and happiness perspective, and making sure that we find that balance or that fit between business and, you know, personal lives and health? Anything that, you can share to help the audience?
Yeah, I think even just listening to some of these simple things that we're saying are free and easy to do, it can still be overwhelming for somebody who's really busy or doesn't know where to start.
Yeah.
So the biggest tip that I can make is just to make a small change and try to do it for a whole month or a good couple of weeks. Because even if it's the tiniest thing, like one of the biggest things that I share often on social media is my 1 liter before 11 challenge. So drinking more water and just trying to drink water every day can make so much difference on so many areas of the body. So just picking one thing that you can do, making that change slowly, and it will slowly make all the difference. That will become the habit, and then you can pick something else. Yeah, drinking water, or for me, even when I had to, when I found out about my thyroid and I had to slow down, is having my cup of tea on in the garden of a morning. Yeah. I'm not on a screen. I'm just drinking that cup of tea for 5 minutes in the garden. Then the day can start. Yeah, that would be my advice, is pick one thing that you can do, a small change, and go with that. And then if you can, reach out and get some support so you can make some bigger change and have that support around you.
Yep, absolutely love it. Now, I'll be sharing your contact information, including your social media handles, on the show notes page on my website, so the audience can reach out to you there and obviously get that help and support if this sounds like something they're experiencing at the moment too. But again, just on a personal note, I want to really thank you for all of your ongoing health support, and I'm getting emotional, but just being able to find the answers and to be treated with respect and care made all the difference to me and my life. And I'll just never forget the support that you offered during my most difficult time. And I'm again just so honored that you could be here today, because just a massive change and difference. So thank you, Kirsty.
Thank you. No, it's been an absolute pleasure to work with you, and to even just see how far you've come from when we first met to now, and you've got your spark back.
Yep.
but you did all the hard work as well, and it's been quite the journey, but I'm so happy that we've got you back and you're feeling good. And
yay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks again, and look forward to continue working with you as well.
Yes, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for giving this show a listen, and don't forget to leave your feedback and rating. If you want to learn more about me or my services, please jump on over to letsgetvisible.com.au, where you'll find show notes and links to my social media profiles so you can connect there as well. Okay, well, that's a wrap for another episode. So I'll join you next time on the Let's Get Visible podcast.